Hey guys, do you ever think what it'd be like to work first with Oprah, second as a TED Talk speaker, finally an author? This chick's got it all. Sally Lou Loveman joins us today to talk about her new book and some of the motivational speaking she's doing on the topic of love. Listen in. Sally Lou, what an exciting day. Not only are we having the first snowstorm in Chicago, but better yet, we've got a CEO and author on our guest today.
A CEO, that's funny. Wow. Okay, you can call Chief Love Officer.
Okay, C-L-O. Chief Love Officer. I am so inspired by your story. I feel particularly proud of the fact that you've been part of Lady Boss for 2 years and still keep joining and, don't come to the events.
So. I come to nothing. I seem to always be out of town.
You must be the busiest COVID, person I know.
No, I'm not. I just travel a lot. But it's also been COVID, so I'm going to come to your pool party, Okay. Hopefully. I'll fly in from Philadelphia just to come to this pool party.
All right, that's another thing we have in common, that East Coast girl thing where we talk about it like in every other sentence. Hey, I'm from the East Coast. Yeah. I love that.
I drop it
in Philadelphia.
But now I'm like really bougie. Like I'm like, oh, I have a home there. It's like, if you could see my home, you'd be like, okay, I wouldn't really call it a home as much as I would just call it a row home. But it's still my house.
Well, how do you feel about bragging to people that you're an author?
You know, it feels really good. I was very excited to change my Instagram. It's my Love Speaks, but it's called @LiveLoveSpeaks. Instagram business page to author as opposed to motivational speaker, because I really don't like that term. Yep. And Instagram just doesn't give you a big like range of what to call yourself. Yep. And anytime I have to like mark down what I am on any form whatsoever, it's like, are you kidding me? There's nothing that would describe me on this, you know? It's like, no. So I was excited to change it to author. I think it's very cool. You know, I made a very specific decision when I decided to write a book, and it was, I'm going to self-publish. Like, immediately, I thought that, because I am impatient, and I wanted to make sure that it actually happened. So I didn't want to shop around for a literary agent or a book deal, because who's going to, like, I'm nobody. So it's like, no one was going to, you know, I have, 2,000 people that follow me. Nobody cares, right? So, but I cared. So yeah. I wanted to write my book in my own way and not have anyone tell me no. And I always say to people, like, no one can tell you no when it's your own content, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I went through all of the, the process of getting... as far as even my husband to sign a release, the Oprah team saw everything. You know, the last thing I want to do was like, oh, there's, Sally Lou writing a book about an expose about Oprah. Not at all.
Yeah.
I can't tell my story without her. You know, she's such a big part of my story. And of course, it's a love letter. So they were lovely. And, I reached out to everybody and did the legal thing, because the publishing team that I worked with, all that stuff applies still. It's just no one was telling me no. I mean, they did tell me no for a few things, but no one was saying, no, you can't publish a book because you only have 2,000 followers. I didn't want to do that. So anyway, I am proud of it.
Well, you should be. It's an excellent book.
Thank you.
I think the really big thing I want to dig into for the listeners is, in this day and age where everything's digital and, your digital footprint's so impressive, and as I tell every young girl I can get my hands on, nobody's as thin, as rich, or as pretty as they look on Instagram. Nobody.
No.
Kim Kardashian looks like blank before she has 8 hours of makeup and hair and outfits.
Right.
So I wish that people knew that, that's one story we tell on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But this book was so authentic. And as far as I can see, you didn't leave a lot out.
I did. I left a whole lot out.
Okay.
Because I'm a mom.
Okay. All right. Well.
And I have children.
Yep.
And I have a husband. And I have a mother-in-law who has, You know, it's like I wasn't gonna do that. And that really wasn't the book.
Yep.
Actually, it was the book. When I first started writing the book, it was about how to heal a marriage, because I'm much more proud of that than my book.
Yeah.
I'm very proud that my husband and I could have went through hell and back, and then we have really worked our asses off to make it not only right, but really right, you know? So I'm very proud of that. But I wrote the book originally as the healing of a marriage. And then I was like, and then, again, submitting to my kids. No, Mom, please. You know, and I'm a producer. I love a good story. I'm like, how can I tell the story without that? That's the segment one moment. And they're like, because that would really hurt me. So I had to really listen to my kids. Obviously, respect them,
yeah.
Respect my husband, who really has been, you know, my rock in all of this and supported it the whole way. And so I shifted it to more of a memoir about speaking your story and how to be a better speaker and stepping up your speaking game and your human game. Because my speaking game was stepped up by the very fact that I got to be on Oprah's stage every day when I was there entertaining, you know, people. And I learned a lot from that.
Of course.
Those things that I learned there can be put into anyone's, you know, toolkit of when they need to speak on a stage to your company or to, you know, a TED Talk or to simply your boss. It doesn't matter, however big or small your audience is. So I weaved it in and it became a teaching memoir. So yes, it's my story, but after each chapter, there is a prompt for the reader to tell their own story and explore their own story, so that by the end, you have a start to your own story.
Seems to me that one of your big whys, and maybe you could elaborate on that, is inspiring people and helping people. And you did so in a way where, you know, a lot of people get inspired, you share some, and then people realize they have that same issue
yeah.
or concern or something in their
yeah.
past. So what I was really, I love talking about, because I've definitely felt that so many times, is I'll dub it the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a very, very successful career
mm-hmm.
working for someone.
Mm-hmm.
I have that same parallel. And I know jumping off into the cliff of, you know, being your own CEO of you
yeah.
is, you know, sometimes you're too stupid to know what you don't know.
Right.
And there you are. And all of a sudden you start saying, well, was I good because the boss was good?
Totally.
So how'd you get over that?
Well, first of all, I still think it, but I also don't think it. You know, it's
yeah.
we talk to ourselves all day long about all kinds of things. And it was the first time I realized, first of all, I always wanted to help people. My dad was a doctor, and I would, you know, I would see him helping people. Like, I would go to the hospital every once in a while on rounds with him on the weekends. He was always there. And I would just see people, you know, he just was like, hey, how are you? And knew everybody's names, nicknames, this stuff. He was like the whole thing with Oprah. Like, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do I matter? Like, he made people matter. And I knew I wanted to, and it felt like I was traveling with like a celebrity, because everyone was like, Dr. Oaks, Dr. Oaks. And so for me, I knew medicine was never going to be a career for me. That was a given.
Science part.
Not smart enough, not brave enough. And so the environment did not please all of my senses at all. So, but I loved the feeling of the camaraderie. And so then I had the experience of visiting the Mike Douglas show with my mother, which is one of the first talk shows that happened to be in Philadelphia, my hometown. And I saw the woman on the set with a clipboard, and I was like, that's what I want to do. So I sort of combined that, like, love for TV and love of helping others. And I mean, when you put those two together, it spells Oprah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was not a mistake that I came to Chicago in 1984 for a job at the PBS station for 1 year. It was an internship in production, and that was the same year Oprah came to Chicago, and the stars aligned, and I ended up working for her beginning in her second season when the show went national. So I think it was all sort of, you know, it's easy to look back on a story and say, oh, that's why it happened. In the midst of it, I wasn't even really aware. But to me, when I track, like, oh, why did this happen? How did this happen? One, I was very passionate about television. Mm-hmm. And two, I knew exactly who I was. I knew exactly what my good stuff was and what my hard stuff was. Like, no science, but yes to people, yes to being in a studio, yes to telling stories. For me, I had a front row seat to, you know, the most powerful stories. And people, the more vulnerable people were, the better the ratings were, because mm-hmm. others were watching. Yes, we could have a celebrity on and those ratings were great. But when someone sat down and told their story, their hardship, their challenge, their trouble, and everyone watching was like, not everyone, but many people watching were like, that's me, that's me, that's me. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. And so I know my story that I tell, it's not everyone's story at all, but there's going to be a piece of something I talk about that's going to land on a reader's heart and say, oh, that's me, or oh, that is something that I've experienced. And that's what story is. That's why it is, you know, so powerful.
So let's just talk about the economics of this, because
it ain't right. It ain't good.
All right. Yeah. Because you pour your heart into it. It's a ton of time.
And I spent money on it because it's self-published.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how do you turn this into your business 2.0? What does this do? And maybe just talk about both the branding and now kind of how you're moving Love Speaks into a platform to help, you know, financially pay this back.
Right, exactly. So I knew what I needed to pay back in the first year. And unfortunately, COVID hit. And I launched my book. I paid, you know, a nice amount of money to get it published. And of course, I went overboard and hired an outside graphic designer who is my dear, dear family friend and god sister, who's right here in Winnetka, Amy McCarter. And so, you know, I'd already paid for that from the package that I got for the book deal. But now I'm double paying because I'm a very strong businesswoman. But anyway, then my book launched January 27th on the Today Show, and it was the day after Kobe Bryant died. So it was a very hard day to be on TV and happy about a book.
Yeah.
So we were all crying. It was awful. And I worked at the Today Show, so I knew everybody. So it was really exciting for me, and it was horribly tragic. So anyway, then more tragedy comes. We're in a pandemic. So I had, you know, an idea of what I needed to make in order to make that back. I still haven't done it. I'm still trying. But I got my speaker price that I'd been wanting for like 7 years. And that's why I wrote the book, to have a credential. Okay. Because to say, oh, I worked at Oprah, nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody cares. So, but I wrote a book, and then it's like, oh, okay, there's something you can talk about. So it became my credential. So listen, had the pandemic not happened, would I have made it back? Maybe. So I did do that one. I got like three, like right out of the gate, three calls from the Today Show. All, you know, really good money to speak. All three events didn't happen because of the pandemic. And one happened a year later. So I did get paid.
Awesome.
The one fee that I've always wanted. So, you know, I got to do that about five more times and then I'll be okay. So again, I have not been sitting twiddling my thumbs through the pandemic. I've been pivoting and trying to do everything online. But online just does not, it's not the same as coming into an event and being on a stage and getting that excitement. And that's where people pay you.
It's interesting because again, back to social media, I think that people look at social media, me included, and think, oh, they've got a book, a boathouse, a boat, they travel constantly, they've got to be really rolling.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that business investments are just that, you know, and me included, you know, we can buy a machine and I'm looking like, why didn't this pay back in the first 2 months?
Right.
Because the marketing and the inertia of people to buy the book, call for the speaker, get the speaker scheduled, have the meeting. There's a lot.
Right.
So how do you look at, you know, I think two things. What are ways that the listeners can support you?
Oh, well, that's easy. But I'm going to get to that. But one of the things that is about me, which is why I can't do anything on a drop down of how you describe what I do, which is why author, which is really like the smallest part of what I do, is easy. But I, my business, and you kicked my ass on this, and you don't even know the half of it, but like my, I'll work on a film, or I'll work on a, like I just did Whitney Reynolds television audience for her wish list. I, you know, freelanced and consulted on the Today Show before COVID. I've done television pilots. So all of that TV stuff, I still love, and the production, like put a headset on me, I'm good. Like the fact that I was mic'd today, thank you very much, excites me. You know, I just, I love it. It's my language. It's my love language. And so, and I'm good at it. Right. So I love it. Like, I mean, last weekend, I'm like, okay. And I just put it all together at Whitney's show. And it was like, okay, we're going to do this. And it all, you know, the magic is there. And so I love that. But what I'm really moving towards because of the pandemic and because things have, you know, we're not in crowded places as much as we were. We're beginning to be, but you know, not events, is coaching women and coaching women how to speak without fear and to tell their story. Because my belief is, and it's the number one fear people have, right? Speaking in public. I don't buy it. I think I told you this. I don't buy it. I think it's real convenient for people to say, oh, I'm scared to speak in public, because it is a thing that we're all scared to do. It's like saying, you know, I'm scared to go to the dentist. It's a big fear. I get that. But what I really think is that people are more scared to stand in front of themselves than stand in front of an audience. And when I say that, I mean, if you are willing to stand in front of yourself and do the deep work and figure out who you are, why you're here, what's your story, what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, how are you building this confidence, and really be connected to that, you could go on any stage, anywhere, anytime. I never even thought about it when I went on the Oprah stage, because I was like, I got this. Because it was part of me. I knew what to do. I knew how to do it. That confidence came from the work. It also came from a very supportive family structure that I grew up in. Very privileged for that. Very involved parents and sisters who we all support each other. And my voice was welcomed. And so that, I always had that feeling, but I really believe that people are, when people do the work and get in touch with themselves and their story, good parts, bad parts, because the bad parts are where we grow. Love the bad parts. Hate them while we're going through them, but love them after, when we see the journey we've all gone through and created those strengths. That's what I do now more than anything else.
Well, I'm going to pick the scab a little bit about this, you helping women, because I think that to a certain extent, you don't even realize what a big impact you have on those around you. I definitely see that you know, you got a lot of value, you know, you're really good at things. But when we talk about the financial part, which you referred to as me kicking your, you know what, it was more so, I just like when women don't leave money on the table because of fear. And you know, you grew up with a doctor dad. I grew up with a CEO dad. So when people say, well, like, why are you good at this, Courtney? Well, that's all we talked about in my house at dinner every single night.
Not at all what we talked about.
Not what you talked about.
No, my dad would be like, honey, can I have $5 for the week? Like, to my mom.
Yeah.
He didn't know anything about business. I mean, it was a wonder that he even, you know,
right.
I mean,
and doctors don't
pay the bills.
I mean, maybe in today's day. But how, you know, I would really like to see you just own the fact that you are, you know, Oprah's past producer, plus an author, plus absolutely unbelievably dynamic in front of audiences, and ask for, you know, double the price and ask for
And I did.
All right.
And I did. I was like, when I asked for my price, and that was that, and I was like, oh. And so now I got to get back to that now that things are opening up. I couldn't ask for that price when we were doing things on Zoom. It wasn't even, there was no price.
Yeah.
It was like, So.
Exposure.
So, right. I am extremely, I recently had someone in my life who means a lot to me call me a fraud. Yeah. A fraud. And I was like, that's interesting.
It's well, a big word.
Yeah. Oh, there were other words too. But anyway, a fraud. It really rocked me, hurt me to my core.
course.
It's the worst thing you could call somebody.
Right.
I was like, where is this coming from? And for me, social media does that to people. You know, this is someone who knows me very well. She knows I'm not a fraud. But I was called that because if you are not understanding what I do and not understanding my business and you're looking at me on social media, you know, all of a sudden I'm a fraud because I'm posting and I look and I might be somewhere that's fancy.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is the last reason why I post. Do you read my posts? Because my posts are always about something I'm experiencing. And how does that, how are you, the followers? I mean, that's what I'm taught at Oprah. It's like, here's a story. How does it feel for you? Like, where is that for you? How is it playing that? How's this idea playing out in your life? That's what I do. I connect with people. So that was a real kick in the gut. I'm still working on it. Really hard. Really hard. Because I went to my therapist and I was like, what is wrong with me? And she's like, no, what's right with you?
Yeah.
And I went, oh, right. And then I could look through my photos and my phone and look at all the things. I've been on a plane, speaking engagements on a plane to Hawaii for United when they retired their 747s. I've been on stages in Australia and you know, New York and LA, and I've written a book, and I've been on the Today Show, and I've had people tell me all these beautiful things. I don't even mean on the Today Show. I mean worked the Today Show, which was a dream of mine. And I know that I've had things that no one will ever experience.
100%.
Yeah. I'll be in a spin class or I was just at a class at Lifetime Fitness, and one of the songs I used in my warm up came on, and I was just like, in my head, I was like, I'm on the stage. And that's how I remind myself that I'm still that person.
Yep.
Even though I don't have that platform. Listen, you mentioned this earlier. When I left the show, because my job was obsolete, I stayed for 3 years after the show ended, working with the network and working on the audience pieces we were doing for OWN. But when it became obsolete and they were trying to keep me on and put me in marketing, which was never going to work for me, grateful that they even extended that offer, but I was like, no. And I did this, my first job. I was still working at Harpo, but it was my first job, and it was for the National Restaurant Association. I was emceeing the celebrity chef segments for 4 days, and all the chefs were like, who are you? Like, what are these questions? This is hysterical. And all of a sudden at the end of the 4 days, the audience was lining up, and I thought they were lining up to meet the chef, but they were lining up to talk to me. And I was like, oh, so my talent does work on other stages. So it does work. So it's not just the Oprah thing. But when I left and started my business, which was not an easy thing, in my book, you understand why, because my marriage then fell apart. And I said that in the last season. My team and I were very, very close. We're very much a family. And I was like, watch. And they all knew my husband. He's, you know, we're all very close. And I was like, watch. The show will end and my marriage will end. Because I was all about me. Yeah. I was like, my schedule, my this, my that. We had financial stuff I didn't know. It was like, it'll all work out. Hmm. You know, and that doesn't work on someone who's struggling with their own stuff. So anyway, but I'm laughing because I thought that it was going to be the same thing. Like, okay, I'm going to start my business and it's going to be big. But it isn't big. The phone, no one takes your call if you're not with a brand that's big. No. So I had to get used to that. And I'm proud of the things that I have done and the hard things. I've gotten a tremendous amount of no's. Tremendous amount.
Yeah, I heard this thing when I started my first business and I didn't know what it meant until it happened. And somebody said, the people you expect to help you won't.
Right.
And the people that will help you, you really aren't even that close, and they go out of the woodwork to help you, like people that you didn't have these crazy connections with.
Like you. Well, like you. Perfect example.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's just, it's interesting. And starting a business is no small feat, especially on the heels of uber successful people
yeah.
like we both worked with that
yeah.
make it look pretty easy.
Exactly. You know? And I'm not an entrepreneur. Like, that is not who I am. I am, tell me what to do. I will get it done. It will be perfect. Yeah. It will be fast. I will go over the top, like, with whatever it is that my assignment is. And I like managing people. I'm good at it.
Yeah.
Most TV people are not. I loved being a boss. I love being a boss lady. I treated my team like family. They're still my family. But I'm not built to be an entrepreneur. I've learned. I will say that I never left the building. None of us did when we were working. Yeah. There was no reason to. We needed nothing in the outside world. It was all there.
Brought in.
It was all there. And I have met the most incredible women just from being in this position of entrepreneurialism. And it's like, oh, and the support and the friendship and the happiness, like it, that never happened,
yeah.
you know, in TV. So there is nothing that lights my fire more than watching women I know and love who are successful, be successful and shine like that. Because if she's winning, you're winning.
Yeah.
And so, but that's how I was raised. And my mantra that I was taught by my father is, that's my sister. So my two sisters and I, we protected each other at all costs. We didn't really have trouble, but if there was trouble, that's my sister. And I take that to, you know, if anyone's going to mess with you, if anyone's going to mess with my children, my daughters, my boss, my any woman yeah. person, it extends to men too. But that is how I was raised. And that's how I work. Cause I want to help women shine, because I'm shining all the way when they're shining.
I really appreciated you telling us about that past relationship who called you a fraud. That's very honest, and I liked hearing that. How are you getting over that?
Well, I hope it's not a past relationship, but yeah, fraud is not a word I ever would even put in my world. I mean, we're not always ourselves constantly, but I'd say 90% I am. I'm just trying to put it out of my brain and my heart as much as possible. But someone said something to me and I didn't understand it, but now I do. She said to me, well, you should thank her for it. And I said, okay, I get that. Like, it's all good. Like, be positive. But why am I thanking her? And she said, because there's something in you that is triggered by that. So you've got to talk to your own self-doubter voice and tell her to stop. So thank her for reminding you to not speak to yourself in a way that is negative.
Ugh,
so gorgeous. I went, okay, let me wrap my hand around that. Okay. So I just try to really focus on the fact that I am an open book. I don't really have boundaries. I'm not a fraud.
So I think that people can buy your book, Speak, Love Your Story. Your audience is waiting. Available where? Where do they buy this book?
Oh, Amazon.
Amazon.
Or you can go to
Sally
my
Loveman.
Yeah, lovespeaks.com.
Okay, lovespeaks.com.
Yeah.
I would also want to remind people that you're available to do really awesome coaching sessions
yeah.
and team building and things that...
Right,
you're
that's
just
the second thing that I love.
Absolute fierce magnet, and I think your dynamic personality in any company would do nothing but brighten their lights.
Thank you. I love to go into a group, a small setting of a group, a team, and just get to the it's basically the Oprah warm up. It's what I do, but I pull stories from people, and then all of a sudden, you see these eyes lighting up and the connections going on suddenly, and I'm building up the person that's the leader, like if I did it with your team, like it, and then I connecting people to Courtney, and then they feel better, and then it's good, and it's all real, it's all happening. I know how to do it, but I can't prepare for it because it's the magic of what the people give.
Yeah.
And that's really what the Oprah warm-up was about. It wasn't about, oh, get excited to see Oprah, because I didn't have to do that. They already were. It was what I did was get excited to learn about each other and yourself. So it was the people learning and being more connected with the people in the room, which is what brought even more energy to the stage. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Sally Lou, I love, your vulnerability. Love the fact that you're out there shining so brightly when, you know, you could have just gone into the corner and just said, forget it. That's a hard story. I don't want to deal with it. And you didn't. And here you are building a business and building, of course, your flawless brand. And we're very honored to have you on the Lady Boss podcast.
So kind.
What would you recommend in terms of content, digital or book, that would help someone with their business?
Yeah. Well, I love how we built this because it's like Guy Raz. Like, it's just, you know, as a entrepreneur who wants to be more of an entrepreneur, you learn so much by the way people are building things like SoulCycle, you know, like anything, like Peloton, you know, whatever. These huge things that come from one little kernel of an idea, and that's all it takes.
More of manufacturing than Starbucks.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. but I do have a book that I recommend, and I gave it to the presidents of OWN when I was there, and I would give it to any CEO. It's called A Season of Life by Jeffrey Marks. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. And this book is a sports theme, but it's truly about leadership. And it is really specifically to men, which is so interesting to me, but it's raising men for others. And it's the most beautiful read. And it is a story about letting men feel their feelings.
Okay, so, Sally Lou, would you mind sharing your superpower?
My superpower is connection. I love connecting people, and I love connecting with people. So it's not only just you and me connecting, it's connecting you to someone else. I know it's your superpower too, but and I love to tell a story, and I love to tell a joke. So,
you're so good at all connection. Of those things. And if you had to focus on one area that would grow your business the most in the next 12 months, what would it be?
Oh, I mean, speaking. You know, that's where you get the money for what I do.
Okay.
Getting to get, book an actual speaker event where I'm the featured speaker.
Okay.
I'd also love to try to finally do a TED Talk. I've applied several times, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
Keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. You'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.